This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios with a brand new record out is singer-songwriter Dylan LeBlanc. Hello and welcome.
Hey, thank you.
The new record is called Cautionary Tale. It's out on Single Lock 30 Tigers. DylanLeBlanc.com is the website to learn more about Dylan and his music. Very, very good new album. And let me just start by saying that right off the bat. Congratulations on Cautionary Tale and everything else on the album. I know that there, over the years, have been a number of comparisons thrown out in reviews of your music to Neil Young, but let me throw a couple of other names out here that I hear, especially on this new record.
Okay.
Jeff Buckley and Ryan Adams. A little bit of both of those things in the mix.
That's cool.
Are those two artists that you have listened to, spent time investigating their music and songwriting?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think anybody who writes songs, you know, we listen to great songwriters, and both of those guys are both great songwriters.
Now, you are all of what, like 26 years old or something like that now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it feels like you've been doing this forever already. Does it feel that way to you?
It feels like I've been doing it a long time. I guess, you know, really and truly, I've only been doing it for 6 years professionally. But yeah, it feels like it's been a long time.
Yeah, that first record that came out, Popper's Field, you were, what, 19, 20, something like that, right?
20, yeah, 20 when that came out.
And It and Same Old Shadow, both very well received by critics, a lot of press, and you were on the cusp of landing a major record deal, and then what? And then what happened?
Well, you know, I don't know. I got sick of touring by myself, you know. I was doing a lot of shows just because the budget wasn't there for me to have a band, really. And I wasn't very successful, you know, honestly, to be honest with you. I just, those records didn't sell a whole lot, and not many people were coming out to shows. And I got kind of tired of being out there by myself, you know, and you know, I would do opening slots for bigger artists where I would just be by myself. That was kind of weird. I don't know, you know, just life, you know.
It can be fairly lonely, that lifestyle of being out touring, just night after night, driving to a new town, checking into a new hotel, right?
Yeah.
Didn't work?
Yeah, I mean, when I had hotels.
Now, you are originally from Muscle Shoals, right? Like, actually from the city of Muscle Shoals.
Yeah, I was actually born in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I lived there for 10 years, and then my dad wanted to pursue his music career. So we moved to Muscle Shoals, where he was offered a publishing deal at Fame Recording Studios.
And he churns out a lot. He's written something like 85 songs in a single year or something like that.
God.
That's a lot of music.
Yeah, he's a very prolific writer.
What genre does he primarily write in?
He primarily writes in country, you know, country music, what you hear on the radio, except it's like a lot better than what you hear on the radio.
Yeah. Was that the music of the home? Did you listen to a lot of that kind of country music, or
I did,
was that just the day job for dad?
I think that was just like his gig. I listened to a lot of his songs, you know, because that was what he would go in and, like, you know, record and demo at Fame, and then he would listen to them, you know, after he got done recording them. We listened to a lot of, like, I grew up, like, you know, he was a big, like, Sting fan, and, like, we listened to a lot of Johnny Cash and stuff like that, a lot of U2, and like that was like one of his favorite bands.
Sounds like the stuff I listened to growing up.
Yeah, it was like, you know, he was a kid in the 80s, so a lot of 80s something music.
Yeah.
You know.
You mentioned being out on tour for many of those dates early on by yourself. You are not out on tour by yourself right now. You brought in a couple of people to play with you today. Who have you brought with you?
I got Kimberly Sampson on the violin.
Hello over there.
Hi.
No vocal mic, but hello.
And Caleb Elliott, a.k.a. the Chelliot, he plays cello.
Right on. What do you guys want to play for us today?
Whatever you want to hear, man.
Well, how about something off the new record? I know we've been playing Cautionary Tale a lot, and you might want to save that for the finale of our live session today, but
sure.
What else you got in you?
I guess we'll start with Look How Far We've Come.
One day I won't be insane, won't play.
change for your hearsay. Saying, look, I keep home. Drive me to drink, drive me to get a gun. Better not. Chosen one. Will you break your back on the slip of the tongue? See you look high. How we
That is Dylan LeBlanc live here on Jefferson Public Radio. Music from the brand new record called Cautionary Tale. That one out on Single Lock 30 Tigers. Information at dylanleblanc.com. If I understand the story, the timeline correctly, there was a period of time where I don't quite know if you stopped making music or you just stopped going out on tour, but you weren't particularly active, right?
Right.
What was the catalyst for getting you restarted, getting you jump-started again? Was it a person or a thing, an event that happened?
I think it was, I just needed to make some money, and I was tired of working like odd jobs, you know. And I thought about it. I quit, you know, playing for like a year and quit. I didn't write anything for a year. And I got into this thing, you know, in my head, like all these mental blocks that I had to break through. But I love music, and I'd spent all this time, you know, trying to be a good songwriter and trying to be, and I think I'll always be, just be, you know, trying to be better, you know. I don't know, and I felt like after a year went by, I had some things to say, and I hadn't felt like that in a really long time, you know, especially about the record, about the programming and conditioning of what people go through, you know, how we get sort of brainwashed into doing this and doing that and feeling this way about this and never really having an original idea or thought that ever crosses our head, you know. So that's what this record is about. I mean, it's not so much about me, you know. A lot of people think it's like a personal record, but it's really not, you know. It's about everybody.
You brought in a couple of fairly well-known names to help put your thoughts, musical thoughts and lyrical thoughts to record, including a guy that has an interesting kind of backdoor late night connection to the studio that your dad was writing music for, Fame. Ben Tanner, guy from Alabama Shakes, right?
Yeah.
Helped you with your initial record mm-hmm. when you were just a young kid. Like yeah. after hours, he worked there at the studio? And
he did. That's where we met. I met him there. And he, yeah, I mean, he would like, you know, when we first got started, he was just starting out as an engineer, fresh, like that we'd never worked as an engineer before. And so our deal was, like, you know, as long as he could experiment and sort of do what he wanted, that he would record my songs, mm-hmm. sort of getting better, you know?
Yeah, no, it helps. We've done very similar things, trying out new microphones, new setups in the studio. We bring some local musicians that we know and we're friends with and can handle some false starts here or there as we try to learn systems ourselves.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
So how long did it take when you were first doing that as a teenager to lay down the tracks that became the debut record?
Most of them just started basically as just me and my acoustic guitar, you know. So that didn't take very long at all. And then, you know, I would work on a song for a few months, you know, whenever Ben would have time. So, like, you know, like the first track of that record, you know, we worked on it for a couple months. I would call in steel guitar. I remember the first steel guitar track I ever laid down. It was a guy named Wayne Bridge. And he lived in Hohenwald, Tennessee. And I could only pay him $20 a song, but he was nice enough to do it.
On this record, there are some fairly lush arrangements, and you have typically been the kind of guy that does just a lot of improv seat-of-the-pants stuff, but if I understand correctly, you actually wrote out and orchestrated string parts for this record.
Yeah, well, basically how it worked is me and these guys over here, Caleb and Kimmy, we worked together. Like, I would hum Caleb a part or Kimmy a part, and then she would write out her harmony part or the octave or the second violin, first violin, you know, and then Caleb would do the cello parts, and we all did it together. It was like a conglomerate type teamwork type thing, you know, because we're beasts.
Dylan LeBlanc is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Cautionary Tale. That went out on Single Lock 30 Tigers. What do you guys want to do next today?
We want to do what we feel, and what we feel is Easy Way Out. You want to try that one?
Easy.
That is Easy Way Out. It's Dylan LeBlanc live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Music from the new record called Cautionary Tale. When you sing, where do you go? Eyes are usually closed. And in fact, when you guys were warming up a little bit, when you do make eye contact, you seem to be drawn out of wherever it is that you go when you sing.
Yeah, that's why we don't make eye contact.
You usually sing with your eyes closed?
I do. I think it's like it's my natural habitat. Absolutely. Where my eyes are closed.
Focus thing, right? So you're not distracted?
Yeah, I try to get my, focus nuts going on because I don't have any.
So how do you know whether or not you're killing it with the audience? You just have to wait for the applause.
Every now and then
I
peek. I do one of these things where I'll
just to see what's going on.
Just to check it out. I don't open them all the way. You know what I mean? I want you to look at me while I'm doing it, though. Okay, this is how I do it. Ready?
That worked really poorly on the radio, I will have you know.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm killing it out there with the audience.
For a while.
Hey, in fact, audience, if you're listening to this, email and ask him if we killed it. Tell him we killed it. Sorry.
jprmusic@sou.edu. That's how you get in touch with us. For a while, when you were writing songs, you talked about having to sort of be in a movie scene, like dark lighting, candles, kind of in a place where the darker side of emotions poured out into song. Mm. Is that still where you go in order to have the music come from within, or are you feeling and writing differently nowadays?
I don't know. That sounds like something I would do when I get home after a long day,
Mm-hmm.
Just me in a room and a notepad, I don't know. I just it has to be sensual,
Do you write to paper first, or do you usually write with a guitar in your hands?
I usually will have a melody first, and then the words will come after. So sometimes I have the words. I don't have a formula. Sometimes, I'll write everything down, first of all. I do not go anywhere without a notepad, and I mean anywhere. So I start out with, an idea in my head, and I'll have, these old lyrics. I have, a Moleskine, And that's my favorite notebook. So yeah. I'll carry a Moleskine. And I love the name of that, Moleskine. And then I'll have an idea, a thought or an idea, and then I'll write it out. And then in my voice memos on my phone, I'll be and then I'll put it in there. And then I'll put those two together. And then sometimes I'll have a little ditty, And I'll words here and then music, just stuff like that.
So where and when do you have to be for that assembly line project of taking the lyrical idea and the musical idea and stitching them together and trying to turn them into an actual song? Do you do that at home? Do you do that in hotel rooms when you're out on the road? Or what's the process?
Mostly at home. I have the attention span of somebody that doesn't have much of an attention span. And so...
Everybody's nodding. Is that true? You just threw him under the bus a little bit, but everybody's nodding and smiling.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just, usually I'll do it at home when, nobody's home. It's just me at home and my brain thoughts. Mm.
Well, the new record is wonderful.
Man, thank you.
Really
you
nice songs on this.
I'm so grateful for you for playing it,
Absolutely. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's called Cautionary Tale, the newest release from Dylan LeBlanc. That one out on Single Lock Records, 30 Tigers. And we've got a trio in our studios today to help illuminate the songs.
Yes.
A little bit more similar to the way they appear on the record.
Indeed.
And you guys are going to finish with Cautionary Tale, I believe. Is that correct?
We are. One, two. Just now.
I love the flourish at the end. Cautionary tale. It's Dylan LeBlanc.
I'm just exercising
live.
My vocal cords.
Dylan LeBlanc live here on Jefferson Public Radio. The leadoff single from Cautionary Tale, the new record out on Single Lock and 30 Tigers. DylanLeBlanc.com is the site to go for information. Dylan, guys, thanks a bunch for coming in.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.